Chio.
The Sam LaPrade Show continues on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
I'm Sam LaPrade. Thank you so much for joining us here on City News. It is a very busy day in our newsroom. We heard some interesting news a little bit ago, maybe about an hour or so ago, that Senator Vern White has decided to resign as of October the 2nd. And the senator joins me now. Hello, Senator.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Always great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. So I've been thinking about you because this news, for me, certainly came out of the blue. How come you've decided to resign on this day?
I've been talking about it to a lot of people probably for a couple of years, to be fair. When I went to the Senate, I think many people remember I said, look, I'll serve 9 years. I believe that 9 will be enough for me. In fact, I think I might have said 6 to 9 at the time. COVID kind of slowed me down on my transition out. But at the end of the day, I never expected to serve till 75. I always thought I would leave after, 6, 8, 7, 8, 9, in this case, 10 years. So it wasn't a surprise for most people who know me really well. We spend a lot of time in Finland whenever we can. My wife's parents live there. This will give us a chance to go there and rest our head for a while and look for a new adventure. I have some work to do there. I've done some consulting there previously. I have some work to do there and try to find that next adventure and hope it brings me as much joy as, well, I can only hope that it will bring me as much joy as being the police chief did.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Speaking of when you were the police chief, I have to be honest, when I saw this, I thought, oh, are you going to be our new police chief?
In this case, new is not old. No, I'm not. I didn't apply, and I understand they're in a process, and I hope they are able to select a strong police chief because mm-hmm. the service and the community deserves and needs strong leadership.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I had the pleasure of working with you a lot when you were the police chief. And I was working at the Ottawa Mission, and I know you were pulled in 1,000 directions, and you always gave us time, and I've never forgotten that, Vern.
Well, thanks, buddy. I remember you well. I remember you well at the Mission. We talk about it. It's a great level of humor, actually.
Yes, absolutely. There were some very, very funny times, which we can't talk about on the radio. But
no, we won't talk about it on the radio, exactly.
But let's talk about your time sure. with the Senate, and do you feel, given the time and everything that's gone on, if you look back to 2012 and when you were appointed and hoping to accomplish things, have those things been accomplished?
No. I mean, I believed I could make a bigger difference in the Senate than I was able to. Somebody told me recently, a senator actually said that things in the Senate move with a nudge. I've never been great at nudging. Mm-hmm. So, I certainly am frustrated by the speed by which you can make a difference through political means. And I guess it's our reality. It just never was a reality for me. I prided myself in not being involved in politics, so I don't think I saw how slow the change would come about when it comes to change through political measures. Mm-hmm. So I'm disappointed. And I can use as an example, the still crying shame of in the manner in which we deal with addictions in this country. I tried to be at the front end of that as much as a police chief could be when I left in 2012. And today, it couldn't have been worse. I heard Dr. Jeff Turnbull say that in 2010, when he saw the crack cocaine problem in Ottawa, and he said, man, it'll never get worse than this. And many of us would pray that it was as it was in 2010. So that's, if I have a regret of sorts, is the fact that I have not been able to move those yardsticks because it's pretty sad when we have 22 Canadians dying every day from an overdose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's astounding, absolutely. On the other side of the column, what are you proud of?
Passed a piece of legislation that I brought forward in 2017 to make precursors for fentanyl illegal, which weren't previously. We passed it in the Senate in a matter of weeks, which was, as always, breakneck speed. And then the government immediately actually made the changes. Instead of going to the House, the government made the changes to regulations to make the exact same thing, those precursors illegal. I thought that was a great piece of work. The second piece, I think, is the work being done by the National Security Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians, of which I've been one of the founding members with Chair David McGuinty, local member of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the work we've done there has been nothing short of shockingly spectacular. It's, you know, the agencies needed a level of review. I think they're given a high level of review by that committee, and I'm very proud to have been a member of that committee, working under a very strong team and under the mentorship of David McGuinty.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. I mean, you and I spoke a lot during the so-called Freedom Convoy time, and you know, one of the reasons that we were touching base is because I thought you had such an interesting perspective. You know, obviously you worked RCMP, you were police chief, and then through the eyes of a senator. When you think back to the, you know, that period of time, how will you remember that? I mean, having that different perspective, because you, you know, obviously held other roles. What was it like to get that perspective, and what will you take from it?
You know, it's funny because I've been asked couple of times recently about the alt-right or the far-right movement, and I felt that the convoy, initially in particular, I felt that the convoy was being stolen by that movement. You know, that many people didn't necessarily fully understand why they were there, and so if anything, I guess I look at, and maybe I put this back honestly on the lap of the former president of the United States, where he legitimized the ability to have those, to express those types of beliefs, mm-hmm. and for Americans to excuse and allow it to, I think has washed somewhat onto the shores of Canada, in that we also allow people to express shocking things to all of us every day. And, you know, an example is the most recent blogger who expressed his interest in committing a sexual assault against a member of parliament's spouse. Like, that kind of stuff, I wouldn't even have thought we would ever see.
I agree.
And instead, yeah, we're appalled by it, but we're not shocked by it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the convoy, what we saw happen, there's no way I thought we would see that in front of Canada's parliament ever. And it disturbs me greatly that it happened. And that many people still defend those actions, including, to be blunt, the leader of the official opposition. Because you can believe that the regulations put in place, the rules put in place, the laws that were put in place during COVID, they went too far. Anybody can argue that, and I would welcome that argument. Does not mean I would welcome what happened in front of Parliament.
Mm-hmm. And I have to ask, you know, the timing's really interesting. We know I was receiving, of course, correspondence from, you know, all of the different people running for leader of the Progressive Conservatives. And I did see a note come across my email from you supporting Jean Charest. Does this have anything to do, your resignation, have anything to do with the fact that Pierre Poilievre has won that?
No, absolutely not. Jean Charest, for me, I thought would bring a level of experience, knowledge, and decorum to the party. And I've known him. I met him first time in 1991 in Kimmeroot, Nunavut, when he was a minister, I believe, of Heritage at the time. And I was impressed by him. And I've always been impressed, not always agreed with him, by the way, but I've always been impressed by him as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really it for me. No, if people you could have spoken to a year ago would have said Vern's leaving soon. This is nothing to do with the leadership of the Conservative Party.
And when you think about, you know, everything that's going on in the world right now, Vern, where do you see yourself being able to apply all the experience, the skills, the wealth of knowledge?
It's probably the best question I could have been asked, Sam. Thanks for that. I don't know the answer. I just know that whatever it is I get a chance to do, I need to love it. I mean, I loved being the police chief. Every day of the RCMP and Durham Regional Police Service and Ottawa Police Service, I felt like if I didn't make a difference, it's because I didn't work hard enough, not because I couldn't have. And I didn't always feel that way in the Senate. So for me, I need to, you know, I think I have another 10 or 15 years to give, if God willing, to some great cause. And hopefully that whatever that is out there excites me as much as those people I work for. So that's really what I'm going to look for. And spend lots of time with my daughter, Ella, and my wife, Sari, of course.
Absolutely. You've got a beautiful family, Vern. Can I ask you a question? This is a difficult one for me to ask you. I just feel like I need to.
Sure.
If you were to go back to 2012 and, you know, Mr. Harper's calling you and asking you to do this, now, knowing what you know now, would you have still accepted?
No. Easiest answer all day.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would have. Look, I had things that were unfinished, and I thought I could continue driving those forward, and I didn't do them as well as I would hope to. I would have stayed a few more years and continued on some of the work we were doing. I thought some of the work we were doing in the community was making a difference, and I wasn't able to drive it to the same level. We have, you know, at the time, then you have a new police chief heading in maybe not the exact same direction I was heading. So, no, I would have stayed for a few more years. And if it didn't come later, it didn't come later. But you know, at the same time, I have to say I was humbled to have been called and honored to have served as a senator. I think we've had like 1,200 senators or something in the history of this country. And I'm, as a Cape Breton boy from New Waterford, son of a coal miner, as somebody called me, you know, I am honored and humbled to have served. There's not a negative about the Senate. It's more about Vern White should have recognized, was it the right time to leave what he enjoyed doing so much?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, Vern, how much I respect you, and I value, you know, not only your contributions to this community, but to this country. And you've always been so generous and forthcoming. And one thing you know I love about you, you just do not sugarcoat it. And when we talk about mental health and addictions and substance abuse, you know, that is where I know your heart is. And I'm just hoping that the next step for you also includes that kind of work.
Thanks, buddy. And best to you and your daughter, okay?
Thank you. Senator Vern White joining us today. Senator announced his resignation today, and the resignation is effective as of Sunday. So a very quick resignation there from the senator. You heard him say he's not going to be our new police chief, and maybe people thought that was an option, but certainly appreciate everything that he has done here at City News, and we'll definitely stay in touch with Mr. Vern White. Lock it in to City News.
Sam LaPrade will be right back on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.